Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, today we're going to end today's show. Let me tell you about the end of the show first. With one of Seattle's favorite authors, J.A. Jance, is getting ready for her new book tour that's starting up here in the Northwest. This is her 43rd book, and she'll be up in the Seattle area next week, and she'll join us around 12:40 today. My second guest, Walt Bader, shares an Irish proverb in his book that says, "A good laugh and a long sleep are the best cures." But are you getting the sleep you need? And are you safe while you're sleeping? That's what we're going to be talking about with Walt Bader around 12:20. First, I'm very pleased to welcome Mark Underwood to the show. And Mark Underwood is president of Quincy Bioscience. He says the new guidelines, the rules of Alzheimer's are changing, and the new guidelines open up the door to more conversations between healthcare provider and patient. Mark, welcome to the show. Mark Underwood, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Vicki. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. I want to just start with a little bit about your background, Mark, and what you're doing. You are a neuro researcher, so tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about Quincy.
Sure. I'm one of the founders of Quincy Bioscience and the president of the company. We fight the aging process by looking at different contributing factors to memory loss as we grow older. And we focus in on one particular issue that's very detrimental. It's the loss of a very specific type of protein that leads to memory loss in different types of dementia patients, including Alzheimer's. And we found an effective molecule that helps to keep those brain cells alive longer and helps to restore memory. We actually made that discovery in an unusual source. It's from a jellyfish that was first found up in the Puget Sound region just north of where you guys are located. Mm-hmm. And we've been working with this jellyfish protein and developed it into an over-the-counter product called Prevagen that helps people with memory loss. In our future research, we hope we can apply this technology specifically for people that have Alzheimer's disease.
Now, jellyfish research, as I understand, is not new. It's been around since the 60s. It was first found in the 60s. Is that correct?
That's right. In fact, that very same protein that was discovered in 1962, the one that led to a Nobel Prize in chemistry for the researchers, is the exact same jellyfish that we're interested in with our research. But instead of focusing on the different ways that you can help make other molecules luminesce, we focus on how we can utilize the calcium binding properties of the proteins to help our brain last longer, to communicate better, and to help preserve memory.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that the new guidelines, the rules of Alzheimer's disease have changed. And this is fairly significant because I understand it's the first time in 27 years that they've really set any changes in what we understand about the disease. So, first of all, who made these changes? It's the Alzheimer Association, I understand.
Well, they lead the changes, and of course the doctors implemented in their local practices. The main goal is to make sure that people are understanding the importance of early memory loss, talking about it with their physician when it's really at its infant stages. The symptoms you might see might be walking into a room and forgetting where you're going. They might be losing your car keys or cell phone. That type of memory loss is very indicative of what can happen in the future and can lead to Alzheimer's disease. So the key is to talk about it and to recognize it as a problem when you're age 40 or 50 so that you can be well prepared in advance of Alzheimer's disease, which might set in typically around age 60 or 70. So the key is communication and thinking about how we're learning, thinking about our memory process, and really identifying any type of memory issue early enough that we can avert its dangers.
Right. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, I interviewed a doctor who specializes in Alzheimer's research, and he said then, and maybe this has changed, maybe you can clarify this, that if we walk into a room and we forget our car keys, it's not a problem. Everybody does that if we forget where we've put them. If we forget we have a car, that's the problem.
Well, with all due respect to that physician, that's why they changed the guidelines.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
I mean, I know his point. I don't mean to that, I don't mean to throw his comment out the window, but the key is that if you're going to wait until you can't recognize the car, there's very little you have left to do for the patient. You need to change the way the brain is aging far before you go into get a diagnosis. I mean, this may sound comical. I speak of this because I've lost a grandfather to Alzheimer's. I take this very seriously. But if you go into the doctor's office and he or she diagnoses you with Alzheimer's, you're the last person to know, and you're the first person to forget.
Right.
So
right.
You need to deal with this when you're much younger and make changes to adjust your risk factors. You can change your diet. You can change exercise. You can't change your parents, unfortunately. So your genetics are your genetics. But you can also do things preventatively. That's what our research shows, that by adding this particular type of protein, we're seeing memory improvement. We're seeing memory loss almost reverse itself. And that's very hopeful, so we can push off the risk of Alzheimer's disease in addition to these other things that are controllable. Some things we will never be able to control that lead to Alzheimer's, but at least let's put the odds in our favor.
Mm-hmm. Now, this protein that you talked about earlier, does it have to be ingested in supplement form?
Well, right now, that's the only way that it's commercially available. But we are working on it being available in a format that would be FDA approved. So there's more years of research to go into that. But since it's a natural product, it's available in a product we make called Prevagen. So it's practically the same thing. It's just a matter of how it's regulated and the specific claims that can be made. Our research and our clinical trials has simply only been done in individuals that have memory problems. We haven't tested it in Alzheimer's patients yet. But, you know, for people like you and I who might walk into that room and forget what we're doing, now's the time we can solve that problem and help our brains stay stronger for a longer period of time.
Right. And I know that several Alzheimer's research groups have talked about jellyfish protein, but it's not FDA approved yet, right?
No, it's not an approved drug yet. We're still in the research stages.
Now, Alzheimer's disease, as I understand it, is not a normal part of aging, but the greatest risk factor is advancing age?
That's exactly right. When you're 65 years old, you have a 1 in 10 chance of having Alzheimer's disease. When you're 85 years old, you have a 1 in 2 chance of Alzheimer's disease, a 50% chance. There are different facets in your brain's chemistry that change as you grow older, which leads you to be more susceptible to developing the disease. And one of the things that they have researched and shown in Alzheimer's patients is a depletion in these particular types of proteins. They specifically lose the proteins in the area of the brain that's the most damaged. So that happens in all of us as we age. It happens much more rapidly in certain individuals with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. We still haven't figured out exactly why some people lose it faster than others. But the main, I think, takeaway from our research is, well, let's just replace the proteins and not worry about it.
Right, right. Interesting statistics here, an article that you'd written. 5.3 million Americans suffering from the disease. 5.1 million are age 65 and older in young onset Alzheimer's disease. Are there different symptoms?
Well, mostly in early onset disease, you see the same type of progression. You're just seeing it perhaps in age 40 to age 50. So it's a smaller percentage of individuals that have the early onset disease.
Mm. And I also read that the rate of AD among women age 71 and older is higher than for men, but you say that's not gender-related, it's just that typically women live longer than men.
Generally speaking, yes. I think I think when you adjust for age, men are more susceptible for Alzheimer's. We as men are not actually wired as properly as women are. We can't handle the stress in life, and our brains tend to break down a little bit faster.
Right, right. So you mentioned earlier we can't change our genetics, obviously, but what can we do about changing our diet, and what do we need to be aware of based on the new guidelines issued by the National Alzheimer's Association?
Well, I think the main thing, if you look at diet, you want to reduce inflammation. You want to reduce high amounts of saturated fats and sugary foods. It's actually very damaging to the brain. It's like they become long-term stressors on the brain. If the brain starts to experience this inflammation over a period of time, it really rapidly accelerates the aging process of the brain. In addition to sugars and fatty foods, cigarette smoking is terrible for the brain. You can actually double your risk of Alzheimer's if you're a heavy smoker. Now, when you look at diet in terms of nutrition, you want to be able to eat what's called a Mediterranean diet. reduce the amount of red meat in your diet, increase the amounts of fruits and vegetables and fish. That's going to reduce the inflammation. That's going to help provide you with the right fatty acids you need. And research shows that that can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's by up to a third. So that's pretty good advice. It's pretty easy to do. And if you do that, you want to start doing that when you're young. Do not wait till you're 75 years old, because the damaging process of Alzheimer's don't just start when you're old. That's just when you start to see the last stages, when you're incapable of taking care of yourself. I guarantee you, research is going to continue to show that these processes in the disease are starting maybe 15 to 20 years before you ever really see the hallmark symptoms of Alzheimer's disease because of this age-related phenomenon that we're talking about.
Wow. So if there are no symptoms, visible symptoms, how I read in some of your material about your work that there's a preclinical stage of the disease, and PET scans may detect issues there. Is that correct?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are different testing technologies that can point out the problems that are happening with the brain. But I'll tell you one thing that's actually pretty inexpensive advice, especially if you're married. If you note the memory changes that you see in your partner, you can be just as accurate about the onset of memory problems by your own observation as you can by any expensive picture that's taken of your brain. Now, I'm all for people wanting to go in and have their doctor confirm the diagnosis, but the symptoms of Alzheimer's are pretty clear. The symptoms of memory loss are pretty clear. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing them for ourselves,
right,
in our own lives.
Right.
But I tell you what, you can see it in your spouse. You can see it in a close friend. You can see it in a loved one. And if you start to see lapses of memory with increasing frequency, take notes. You're on the path that could be very dangerous down the road. Do something about that today.
Kind of concerning for people who live alone. I mean, really.
Well, absolutely. I mean, living alone, actually, in social isolation is actually a very dangerous risk factor for Alzheimer's patients. So it's very important. If you have an older relative that has one of these disorders or diseases, you need to visit them regularly. You can help them out a lot with their health just with your social visits.
Right.
It's actually very stimulating for their mind. Besides it being a loving and polite thing to do, it's very stimulating for their mind. So you can do a lot of good by visiting an ailing relative and spending some time with them, have a conversation. You can help their brain actually work better.
Okay, good to know. Now, besides memory, Mark, what other symptoms should people be aware of?
Well, an Alzheimer's patient typically is going to start to show some emotional instability. Often they get a little bit temperamental. Part of that is because their brain chemistry is changing. Part of it is that they're terribly frustrated to be losing their memory. They may not have a clear understanding of what's going on. And so we might look from the outside and say, well, their behavior's changing because they have a disease, because they can't remember things. We have to deal with mom or dad a little differently. But to the patient, it's very confusing because they don't have the ability to understand why they don't have the ability to understand. So it's become very frustrating, very maddening for the patient. So you want to look for changes in temperament. Certainly you want to look for things like all of a sudden someone starts to become much more lethargic than they were in life, much more depressed. And usually that lack of energy is also correlated with memory loss and also this temperament change.
Interesting. So let's go back to what you're doing at Quincy Bioscience. And you are the president, I understand, of Quincy Bioscience. Where do you see research heading here? Because I hear constantly, if we find a cure for or a prevention for Alzheimer's, it's also going to affect people with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's
yep.
disease. So where do you see this heading?
Well, I do agree. There's some common factors that are related to these neurological disorders that we've been researching. And a lot of it has to do with what's called the calcium pathway. Calcium is a very important regulator of how well our brain works, and it's in very microscopic amounts in the brain as compared to our bones and teeth. We work with a protein that regulates this calcium and helps to balance out the calcium activity in different neurological conditions. And we're actually in the midst of an MS trial, multiple sclerosis trial. We're currently designing an Alzheimer's trial. And if these pathways are corrected and we can help adjust the course of these different diseases, that can mean some really good news for people that are concerned with brain health, because we're starting to see those benefits in individuals as we continue through the course of clinical testing. We really might be onto something that can help a lot of people. The nice thing, given its natural origin, it's safe. I mean, it's very effective and it's very safe. And safety is one of the big issues with current pharmaceuticals. If you can have the same benefit as the current drugs with an increased safety profile, that'd be very much a victory. So
absolutely,
we're very hopeful that we can. We're very hopeful that in the course of our lives, we can see Alzheimer's talked about the way people talk about polio. I mean, literally, I'd like to see us make some advancements that we go on to the next medical mystery.
Well, I really appreciate you being with us. I know that you've appeared on the Wall Street Journal, Morning Radio, CBS, CNN as a leading expert on neuroscience. I thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. Why don't you give us your website, Mark, and people can find out more at your website if they're interested.
Certainly. Our website for the product we're talking about is called Prevagen.com. That's Prevagen, Prevagen.com. And that's available around your listening area at all the different Seattle Super Supplements locations.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, Mark.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. You too. My guest there, Mark Underwood, he is the president and co-founder of Quincy Bioscience, a biotech company located in Madison, Wisconsin. And please do stay with us. When we come back, we'll be joined by Walt Bader, who wants you to get a good night's sleep and a safe night's sleep. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired. My mind is on the blink. I wonder, should I get up?
Well, we're going to introduce my second guest in just one moment. Before I do that, I just want to mention that Scripps Research Center down in La Jolla, where I used to live in the San Diego area, also came out with some Alzheimer's groundbreaking news in March, in case you hadn't heard of it. And the results were fairly unexpected. They weren't expecting to get these results, but they found that reason to believe that treating the liver instead of the brain as a source of the deposits that put the brain plaque, which cause Alzheimer's, might be a better way to treat the disease. And it's still in the very early stages, but I thought I'd mention that because there'd been quite a bit written about it. All right. So coming up next, my next guest is Walt Bader. He is, excuse me one second. I just lost my notes here. Walt wants you to have a good night's sleep and a safe night's sleep. See, Walt, I screwed up the intro there that we were going to do here. He wants you to have a good night's sleep and a safe night's sleep. Let me bring on Walt Bader.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
So I know that you went back to school. You had chemical sensitivity problems all of your life. You became passionate about sleeping safe. Tell us a little bit about this.
As far as being passionate about, I didn't hear your last word, I'm sorry.
You became passionate about finding better ways to get rid of the toxins in our life, better treatments for everyday use. But you want us all to have a good night's sleep and a safe night's sleep.
I do. I think it's critical because of the time we spend in that environment. You mentioned, as you said in your intro, a good night's sleep and a safe night's sleep. And my book is titled Sleep Safe in the Toxic World, which is no small challenge, by the way. I've always asked some of the people to be patient with me and just go back about 10,000 years and make believe they're a cave person. And they're about to go to sleep on the front of a fire, mm-hmm. pile of nice, comfortable animal skins. And as you're about to doze off, you hear this god-awful roar. And because you're an experienced cave person, you know it's a saber-toothed tiger. Now, your options are to go up the hill about 100 yards, and you have a cave, and it's cold and it's damp, and you can't have a fire. But you'd be safe. So you have a decision to make. Do I sleep by the fire on my skins and be safe, or be comfortable, or go up to the cave and be safe? Safety or comfort? Well, obviously, they made the right decisions, or perhaps we wouldn't be here today. But most consumers do not factor in the safety in their mattress purchases. They think about the comfort, and they think about the price, but they really don't think about, is it safe? Because we have no warnings, we have no information on the product itself, and no way for consumers to really understand the risk they're assuming.
Mm. So I should let our listeners know, Walt, that you were one of the first experts to discover chemical exposure. You call it outgassing of ingredients commonly used in the manufacture of mattresses and bedding. I was, I've heard talk about mattresses before, but I never really put too much thought into the linens on our bed. And you talk about this in the book, too. And the book is called Sleep Safe in a Toxic World. You, as I said in the intro, you were chemically sensitive all of your life. What made you, you were a marketing professor for a long time. What made you decide to make this your career?
Well, actually, it was sharing my lifestyle with friends my whole life. And I just merely took it to the next level. There was nothing very complicated about what I have done. I merely tried to eliminate every possible chemical I could. So from the age that most people started reading comic books, I started reading labels on bottles. I learned bigger words while they were learning smaller words. But as I've gone through life, I've maintained the habit. I believe the only way you can survive in this ubiquitously chemical world is to avoid as many chemicals as you can. And within that context, the bedroom is perhaps the most important of all the rooms and exposures you have, even more than the workplace, because people do more than sleep in their bedrooms.
Right, right.
They read stories, they do computer work, they talk on the telephone. It's a huge environment, and normally it's not an environment with a great deal of filtration.
Right.
It's coming off the mattresses and the linens, as you say, pretty much stays within, as does the everything else in the room.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the book. You say in the book, beware greenwashers. It seems that, everywhere now we've got green labels everywhere, but you say beware of greenwashers. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, we started manufacturing organic mattresses. I was the only one ever built a factory to do it. And we have certifications and purities that are all established by third-party approved USDA certifiers. Well, what's happened in the industry is there's a whole bunch of green smoke and mirrors because they realize that the consumers, because of the growth of the market in food and beverage and personal care items, has grown to over $30 billion, that green is here to stay perhaps. And so if it's here to stay, then they want to, if you will, adopt the attributes, the names, the theme, the natural. There was a survey done in a Walmart store here about 2 years ago, and they went in, they looked at every single product that had some attribute of green attached to it, and out of 1,000 products, only one was actually authentic.
Wow. That's horrifying. It really is. You know,
we have a simple guarantee for our products, which we've had to do because of competition. It says if you can find a pure mattress, we'll give you ours for free.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can't argue with that, can you?
but the book on greenwashing there's no real sheriff on the Internet. You know, we forget how young the Internet is. People who will be around 100 and 200 years from now will look at these 10 years and they say, wow, that was really the heyday of the Internet. There's no site verifications. There's no sheriff to stop fraud and deceit. And so people put up a website and say anything they want.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about hypoallergenic because I think I was shocked to read in your book about this because, and just to give a personal example here, you say hypoallergenic has nothing to do, it's not related to chemicals. And I, a few weeks ago, used a hypoallergenic cleanser when I was trying to restore a table, and I broke out on my hands in the worst dermatitis. My nails all went so soft I had to file them halfway down my fingernail beds. That was hypoallergenic. I thought I was safe to use it. So tell us what we need to know about hypoallergenic.
Well, hypoallergenic was actually a word created by a marketing department in a small cosmetic company in the late 50s, early 60s. And it was an advertising gimmick that would literally say that this product has fewer allergic reactions. Now, that's what the Greek prefix hypo means, less or below. So the product is designed to be less than something, but there's no baseline established. There's no organization that verifies the level to which you maintain it is less than. And there's no organization that polices any development of it under a marketing expression. So it has no medical definition. There's no third-party certification process. There's no organization that reviews whether the product, using the word hypoallergenic, can prove anything that it's lessening than something else. So it's one of those marketing words that means nothing.
Interesting. And I did not know that because I think, you know, when I've gone out to buy pillows, for example, I've looked for hypoallergenic. You say not really much use.
No, because it doesn't mean a thing. So if you bought a feather pillow, hypoallergenic could mean that this particular pillow was disinfected with less chemicals that could be allergic to you than something else.
Yeah.
But you see, there's no quantitative estimation of anything.
Right, right.
It's just a word.
Right. I want to just talk about bed linens.
Sure.
Because this is another common thing. I mean, everywhere now we see wrinkle-free sheets. I just bought a new bed set, so, you know, everywhere I went, I saw wrinkle-free sheets. Great idea, you think. But you say that gives us exposure to formaldehyde.
It does. Formaldehyde is a very favorite chemical in the textile industry. And it's used, it's what's called an appearance chemical. And what it does is it makes the product look better, not just initially, but also as you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, it's interesting you mentioned formaldehyde because the last Saturday, June 11th, the New York Times had an article on formaldehyde and styrene above the fold on the front page, by the way.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, so this is
Well, that's significant in the New York Times.
Yes, and it says government says these chemicals pose risk of cancer. And they name about 8 chemicals, formaldehyde and styrene being one. Styrene is just one of the chemicals I mentioned in my book when I give the total list of chemicals coming out of memory foam. And, you know, anybody who buys a memory foam mattress, they should see the chemicals that they're breathing for free.
Well, I was actually reading in the book some of the people who'd bought a mattress that was called a memory foam mattress and had severe allergies to it. And I know everybody's different, everybody reacts different, but your whole point in this, and I know you specialize in mattresses in your company, but your whole point here is that the skin is the largest organ and most of us get into bed with, you know, little to no clothing on. It's the most porous entry into point into our body, and what goes onto the skin will also go into the skin.
Correct. And the other second organ is our lungs.
And we're breathing that in. Yeah.
Right, without much dilution.
Yeah. So I want to talk about mattresses, and I know you do sell mattresses, but these are organic mattresses. OMI is your company. I want to just look at some of the stuff that we need to be aware of when we're buying a mattress, whether it's organic or whether we're going you know, it's a price, Club Costco, whatever.
Certainly.
And you say that, you know, we have a label, we have a warning label on mattresses and pillows and cushions and sofas, that kind of stuff. You say they really they don't really tell us anything. We have to ask for the manufacturer's disclosure.
Well, actually, we don't have a warning label on mattresses. I mean, my life work, that could be accomplished. I think that would be wonderful because I think mattresses are the same place cigarettes were in the 1930s. There is no warning, and people are very unaware and think their mattresses are benign.
Mm.
So we don't have a warning label. We have a law label, the one that says do not remove. Everybody keeps telling us it thinks it's for the consumer that you can't remove. It's actually for the manufacturer or the retailer. It's to tell you what you cannot see is inside that mattress. But unfortunately, it just talks about the raw physical material. It doesn't talk about outgassing, which is coming out of the mattress as well.
Right. And that's so, what we're breathing into our second largest lungs.
Right. No discussion, you see, of chemical outgassing, only of raw materials that you can, you know, see and touch. And that's why in that book, it was the first time in the United States that anybody has published the actual chemicals outgassing from memory foam mattresses, chapter and verse. And, you know, the first edition of that book was put out in 2006, and I haven't been sued yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about TDI. What is TDI? Because I know it's in many mattresses. It's a human carcinogen, respiratory problems, liver damage, blood disorders, etc. What is it exactly?
Well, it's basically toluene, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to start by saying I've had to learn all my chemistry on the street.
Right.
But there are certain chemicals that are recognized as carcinogens by every health organization in the world. Benzene, propane, styrene, naphthalene, toluene. All of these chemicals have a signature that has been identified with exposure to humans and causing cancer. And so there is no notification on many mattresses today that you are outgassing any product such as that.
Now, if we buy an organic mattress, because I'm actually in the market for a mattress right now, but I'm glad I read this book first. If we buy an organic mattress, is it more expensive? We would expect probably that it's more expensive. Is that true?
They range anywhere from $2,000 for a queen mattress up to probably $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just for the set. If you wanted to buy a queen mattress alone, you could probably pick one up for about $1,000.
Right.
So they're certainly in the specialty mattress class. They're not in the inexpensive mattresses. And that's primarily because of the raw materials.
Right.
We have natural rubber, and we have wool and cotton, and that's it.
Right.
The natural rubber has gone up 50% in the last 12 months, primarily because of the demand of China and India. In fact, everybody's going green, and I just saw last night a Bridgestone tire commercial where they were showing a rubber tree and the sap running out of it, saying they're using it in their tires. I wish they'd leave it for mattresses. It's a far more important use.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're using all organic products, we know that manufacturers would tell us they use a lot of these chemicals because they need to meet fire retardancy standards, etc. How do you make your products fire retardant?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Organic Mattresses, Inc., or OMI, was one of the first companies to ever be audited by the Consumer Product Safety Commission under the flammability standards. Whether somebody turned us in or whether they just thought we couldn't do it without chemicals, I don't know. But three of them showed up. They all had badges. They took our mattresses, and we proved that through the construction of just wool that I can make a mattress that meets their tests without any additives or barriers whatsoever.
Interesting. I want to read this for our listeners because I know we're almost at the end of our segment, but I thought this was really cool because I know you really have put your heart and soul into this business. And when I say this business, the sustainability and true organic products. One of your employees blogged that a few weeks ago she visited the factory where the mattresses are made. For Lifekind, your sister company and Organic Mattresses Incorporated. She said, I felt like Charlie going to the chocolate factory. I have to admit that the enthusiasm that Walt, you, has for the company, he's built from the ground up, is reminiscent of Willy Wonka. However, I'd like to continue to be employed by him and will therefore stop comparing him to a slightly deranged, socially awkward candy fanatic.
I haven't read that.
I thought that was darling.
It's kind of the way to people I work with. I don't really have employees, obviously, as you can see. They work with me.
Right.
But if you want to see our products, you know, there's a store called Bedrooms & More in Seattle, right on 45th Street, that has our line, and they can actually see what an organic smells like and looks like, and more importantly, how comfortable it is.
Yeah. And the book goes in, I want to just make clear about this because we run out of time here, but the book goes into a lot more detail. It goes into what's in your bathroom because, of course, our bathroom usually is right next to our bedroom. It goes into all kinds of stuff that goes into the bedroom, tells you how to better handle carpets, wood floors even. I mean, things that we think, you know, people are putting wooden floors in these days because they're better than carpets. Maybe that might not be so true, depending on the product itself, right?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people think it's not for them, but it's a very important purchase. You know, there's a television personality, Ed Begley Jr., I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yeah, he gave you a great write-up, actually. He's
a champion of
living off the grid, actually,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah. But he calls it the greenhouse. So I guess that means that we have mattresses in the White House and the greenhouse.
There you go. Well, I know you've got a 70th birthday coming up soon, did you say, when we were talking before?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did you say you have a birthday coming up when we were talking in the beginning, in the break?
Yes, I do, tomorrow.
Well, I want to wish you a very happy birthday, Walt.
Thank you, and as I said about Dylan, I'm not going off peaceably.
There you go.
Thank you so much for caring.
Thank you, and please give us your website so people can check out more about this.
OMImattress.com.
Thank you very much, Walt Bader. And Walt Bader's book is called Sleep Safe in a Toxic World, your guide to identifying and removing hidden toxins from your bedroom. And I've read a lot of books on toxic issues, and I was really surprised about some of the things that were mentioned in here. So please stay with us. We're going to have a change of pace when we come back. We'll be talking with New York Times bestselling author J.A. Jansen. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Coming July 11th on Conversations Live, Vicki talks with three best-selling female authors whose stories span from forensic science to historical romance. Join us every Monday at noon Pacific time for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. For upcoming show details and podcasts of featured shows, see conversationslive.net or contact Vicki at info@conversationslive.net. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself? Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. My next guest is J.A. Jansen. She's the New York Times bestselling author of the J.P. Beaumont series, the Joanna Brady series, the Allie Reynolds series, and four interrelated thrillers about the Walker family. Born in South Dakota and brought up in Bisbee, Arizona, Jance lives with her husband in Seattle, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. And I know she's a great favorite of many of our listeners up here in the Northwest. J.A. Jance, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I understand you're in the middle of a golf course right now. What are you doing?
Well, it's almost sunny in Seattle, so of course we're playing golf.
Are you having a winning game?
one of my closely guarded secrets is my golf score, believe me.
Oh.
It's not a matter of getting a good score. It's a matter of being out there swinging the club.
I guess you're not going to give that secret away today.
No.
So anyway, I know you spend a lot of time up here in the Northwest. I remember from last time we talked together on air that your writing career actually began in Seattle, which is why you consider it your literary home here. You're about to set off on book tour next week. You have a brand new book out. It's called Betrayal of Trust, and it's in the J.P. Beaumont series. So let's begin, J.A., by just tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, this is actually the 20th book featuring J.P. Beaumont. I started writing about him in 1982, so we have almost 30 years together as author and character, which is a long time in the creative world. And part of it is having those other characters to use periodically helps keep it interesting and fresh. When I started writing this book, it was so fun to re-encounter Beaumont and get back in touch with who he is and what he does.
Well, I know a lot of listeners have read your books, but for those who haven't, what is so intriguing to you about Beaumont?
Well, he is, in the beginning, he was a Seattle homicide detective, and he now works for the Attorney General's Special Homicide Investigation Team. Now, if you shorten that down to the acronym, Special Homicide Investigation Team becomes a word we cannot use on the air.
Yeah, please don't.
So when I was getting ready to write this book, I had just finished writing an Allie Reynolds book, and my husband said, well, do you have any ideas for the next Beaumont? And I said, well, I think I'd like to write a Beaumont that features the Washington governor's office. And he looked at me and he said, oh, that's a terrible idea. So he said that on Friday. Monday morning, I started writing this book, and I wrote it in 6 weeks.
What, you were feeling contrary?
Yes. Sometimes that's all it takes to really get the...
to get things going.
Get the wheels to grind and all that jazz.
Right, right. I read that when you very first started writing about Beaumont, you were somewhat surprised when your editor told me that the first Beaumont book, which was Until Proven Guilty, was a police procedural, because up till that point you said you thought it was a book, you thought it was a story.
Yes, that was news to me, and it was also news to me that they thought it was the beginning of a series. I thought it was a standalone book.
Mm.
So, but the problem with writing a series then is you have to deal with whatever you set up in the first book, and at the end of that book, he didn't have a reason to work, so I had to work really hard to figure out why he was still working.
Right, right. And police officers, long-term police officers, have actually come to you and say, I know that guy, even though you made this up. I mean, that's, I think, a testament to what a strong character you developed.
That is true, and people have told me, well, I knew Big L Lindstrom at Seattle PD. Well, that's news to me. I never met him.
Mm-hmm.
I made him up, but evidently I made them up with enough reality to them,
right,
that people feel like they're real people.
Right. So are you walking around the golf course right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because we're having a little bit of static. I wonder if I can ask you just to stay still for a while.
I will stop walking.
Thank you. Yeah, it's too staticky coming over the air here.
Sorry.
Sure. So I know
I got out of the cart.
There you
I'm
go.
Walking.
There you go. They're just going to have to wait for you, J.A. Yeah. So this is your 43rd book. How many more do you think you've got in you?
Well, I don't know if you have read about the Ponzi scheme that removed.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're victims of the Ponzi scheme, and based on that, I'll be writing for a very long time.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's sad. Yeah, it affected a lot of people.
Mr. Berg, I have to say the word allegedly because he hasn't been convicted.
But are you talking about Bernie Madoff or somebody else?
No, I'm talking about Seattle's own Bernie Madoff, a guy named Darren Berg.
Okay.
And he removed a third of our retirement funds.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Right, allegedly. Well, that's really too
using
bad.
Using the term advisedly. So, but the good news for my fans is I'm going to have to keep on writing for a very long time.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of, it's very upsetting when you've worked so hard for it, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to have it removed from your pocket for no reason.
Mm. Yeah. I was reading your blog. I didn't know this about you, J.A., and I'm wondering if any of our listeners do, that you have two wonderful grandchildren that were adopted from China.
I actually got to go to China to bring Celeste home and to have seen her when she was 17 months old and couldn't stand or sit or eat solid food, and in 5 years to see her tap dancing in a dance recital is just this incredible miracle.
Mm.
When we went to China to bring Celeste home, people said, well, did you see the Great Wall when you went to China? No. Our trip to China wasn't that kind of trip. It was a journey of the heart. It had nothing to do with seeing the sights.
Right. Now, and you say that you often think about the two women because you have two grandchildren from there.
No, but I actually have six grandchildren. But
not all from China, though, right?
No, not all
the
from China.
The two from China. You often think about the mothers who gave up those babies.
Yes. Celeste was abandoned as a day-old infant with her umbilical cord still attached, wrapped in a woman's skirt and left lying beside a ditch.
Wow. And she's how old now? She's six, five?
Seven,
yeah.
And to have to give up a baby like that has to be such a tragedy. And I'm sure the two women who were the mothers of our granddaughters can't imagine that they're living in Washington and doing gymnastics and excelling at school. But I bet they worry about them at night.
Mm-hmm. We never know where life is going to take us, because I know that you used to sell insurance full time and you'd get up early in the morning from 4 till 7 and write those books, which I'm sure is why it just burns you about this Ponzi scheme and losing so much of your retirement.
Well, yes, and being advised that that this guy was trustworthy and so forth. That was all really hard to take when it mm-hmm. turned out he was not trustworthy.
Right, right. If you weren't a writer, what do you think you'd be doing, J.A.?
I'd probably still be selling life insurance, but I wouldn't be loving it. selling insurance was a means to an end. It was a way of supporting my kids when I was a single parent with no child support.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't something I loved. It wasn't something that engaged my heart the way writing does.
Mm. And I know when you were talking about the Beaumont, so the first Beaumont book just a little while ago, but what the marketing people had you change your name to J.A. because they didn't think you'd sell so well if people knew you were a woman.
Well, actually, this weekend in New Orleans for ALA, somebody said, yes, I had to take the cover off your book and tell my father you were a man before he would try reading you.
Oh, really?
And, of course, now he's a big fan.
Yeah.
But it was, as far as autographing books, J.A. Jans is a lot easier to write than Judith Ann. So there you are.
There you go. And everybody knows you as J.A. I know you're coming up to the Seattle area. You know, since you're walking around the golf course right now, do you know where and when you're going to be?
The book schedule is not on my website. I'm hoping it will be up today or tomorrow. But the first book signings will be on July 5th. And as soon as we get a final confirmation of the schedule from New York, we'll put it up on the schedule.
Okay, well, that sounds good, because I know that we have a lot of listeners who like your work and will be interested to
The first signings in Seattle, the first signing in Seattle will be on July 5th at Seattle Mystery Bookshop.
Okay. So July 5th, Seattle Mystery Bookshop, and we're going to have to check back on your website to get the actual time of that. Now, tell us what your website URL is, please.
jajans.com, www.jajans.com.
There we go.
It's really hard to remember.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Well, I was talking about Alzheimer's early. I'm having a problem with memory today. My mouth and my brain just aren't connecting somehow. Well, I wish you all the very best. And whereabouts are you on the golf course right now? Are you halfway through yet?
We're at hole 13.
Hole 13. Okay, so you've got enough. Five to go, I'm presuming.
A few more, but they agreed to give me a double bogey for each of the holes I missed. So there you are.
Well,
my score is going to be great for having done this interview.
This is a first. I have to say, I talked with somebody a couple of months back, and he is running across America for charity, literally running across America for charity. And he stopped, and he was taking shelter in an abandoned fireworks stand because there was a storm blowing. But I've never actually talked to somebody who was actually on the golf course, so.
You may have noticed, it's been raining in Seattle, and so we haven't exactly been playing golf.
Mm. That's right.
So
we're almost at the end of our segment, J.A. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
I would like to say thank you for the people who have read my books over the years, and those of my readers who have read about Beaumont from the beginning are going to find a point in this book, and they're going to say, oh, yes, it's about time she did that.
Are you going to share with us what that is? Are they going to have to read the book to find
out? You have to read the book.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for being with us. We'll let you go back to your golf game.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And my guest there, J.A. Jantz, Betrayal of Trust. That really is a first, talking with somebody on a golf course. We tell all our guests, you know, you have to be on a landline because we know we have issues with cell phones, but that's okay. We got through that okay. And are we right at the end here, Eric? I didn't see if I got the signal there.
No, we've got a couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I just want to talk about next week is July 4th, obviously, and we have a rebroadcast coming up next week, but we'll be back the week after with an all-live show. Plans for July 4th, Eric?
I think I'll be in Tacoma, probably going to the Freedom Fair to watch the fantastic fireworks display that we have down there every year.
In Tacoma?
Yeah, in Tacoma. Oh. Hope to have a barbecue as well.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I'll probably, my dog gets really scared July 4th, so.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go out and have fun, though, regardless.
Well, I'm definitely getting out of the house because my next door neighbor's dog is quite a barker lately, so I can only imagine 4th of July, he's just going to be going off for hours.
Hey, they have the right to celebrate too, right?
Sure, if that's how he wants to celebrate, barking nonstop, then you go to town. Yeah. I'm going to go down to the water
There you go. Well, I can actually just sit at home and watch it, I guess, because it's, I can sit at home and look out the window. But anyway, I hope everybody has a great July 4th and a safe July 4th. I hope you'll sleep safely in a toxin-free room after listening to Walt Bader today. He really has some good information in his book. And if you have any questions on today's show or any of the guests today, you can reach me at 800-495-7000. 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or you can email me at info@conversationslive.net. And conversations is plural. And our website, of course, conversationslive.net. And I'll see you after July 4th. Live well, live strong.